Hey, wonderfuls, welcome to episode 349 with my wonderful guest, Susan Yeagley. You may know her best if you're a Parks and Rec fan as Jessica Wicks on that phenomenal show, but she is absolutely one of those ubiquitous actresses that you're like, oh my gosh, I've seen her in so much stuff. She is fantastically funny with such a great time, and I am sure you will enjoy this episode. So sure, in fact, that I'm going to ask you to take this moment. Yes, this moment. Yes, this moment, this very day, to go ahead and rate the show positively on iTunes, Apple Podcasts. It is just a way for people to find the show. I am trying to get better about asking people to do so because I think it's one of those things, like for me, I need to be told about 20 times that I should do that, and then I finally do it. So for those of you who already have, I thank you. I adore you. For those who haven't, consider giving me 30 seconds of your day in addition to listening to this fun podcast episode. All right, everybody, talk to you soon. Enjoy this ep. Ugh, you know what's funny is that I did select pink. Like, I knew I was going to see you. We don't know each other.
No, we don't.
I feel we do, but we don't.
But
there's no, like,
cut from the same cloth.
I think absolutely. Mm-hmm. And I also feel like, and this does not have to be true on your side, but I have friends, like, in the Groundlings and stuff who are like, I can't believe you and Susan are friends. You guys would get along so great. So I've already built a pretend friendship.
Oh, that's great.
Which.
And we've never been green juice
together. And in my world, we're
together.
Best friends. Right? No. Oh, no. But I did, for some reason, I was like, what am I going to put on? Because I wasn't going to stay in my pajamas. I don't know. I shrugged because there was like a 50-50 that I would. And I was like, I'm going to wear a pink shirt.
I like
and then
pink
you showed
gingham.
Up in pink.
I know. I just thought today it was
best
a little
friend?
Overcast.
Yeah.
And I thought, we'll just be the pink ladies.
And then it became extremely bright,
mm-hmm.
as it does often in LA.
Yes.
You live on a different side of town, not disclosing either side of town that anyone lives on. You certainly have nicer temperatures, which I'm very envious of, but do you get like fog that
yeah,
sort
we
of
get a
lingers?
Lot of fog. We get mountain that. Lions, coyotes,
yeah.
fog.
Same, same.
You get my, oh, you've got, you
oh,
see all
heck
of it here?
Yes. P22. Is the famous mountain lion that lives in Griffith Park. I guess I've revealed that I live near Griffith Park. P.S.
Okay.
I've done that many times.
Okay.
That guy has been sighted in our neighborhood. People are a little, like someone took a picture of it on their back porch once.
Wow.
So people with dogs have to be a little careful.
Okay.
Same? Mountain lions?
Or small children.
Yes.
Mountain lions. I've not seen mountain lions. I've seen coyote. I've seen lots of critters because I'm
penguins?
From the south.
No.
No penguins and no duck-billed platypus yet.
Yet.
But yet.
Mm-hmm.
But they tag the mountain lions. I'm fascinated by it, the fact that we have bobcats and mountain lions.
I know, right?
I feel like we live in a zoo.
It's wonderful. Mm-hmm. What about deer?
Lots of them.
Surely,
oh, yes,
surely
them.
Deer.
Lots of deer.
Raccoons?
Raccoons.
I don't see enough
opossum.
My
Can
case.
I? Is it annoying to say opossum? Should I just
do
say possum?
Why?
Just
dude,
possum.
When did
oh,
that drive
me crazy?
Off.
The opossum, when people
yeah.
say opossum, it's
but
just possum.
It is.
Do we let it ride? Is it like wisdom teeth? Is it going away?
But wait, is it? Oh, but now which one is it? Isn't it?
I
opossum?
Think it's possum.
Oh, really?
But
where
I,
did opossum come from? Opossum, my possum.
It's probably Old English. You know,
oh,
like when you spell it as possum. Shock, S-H-O-P-P-E, Old
uh-huh.
English.
You know? Also two P's and an E in possum, weirdly. that's just how it worked back in the day. Did you have to go, when you were in English in, I don't know if it was, for me it was high school, but English mm-hmm. in college or high school, did you go through the whole sort of like, here's what Chaucer's Old English or Middle English really sounded like, and then someone comes in or they play a recording of what that actually sounded like?
No.
Have you ever heard it?
No, you went to a very fancy school. Because
I sure didn't.
You sure didn't?
Just a public school, just a big old public high school.
My, just so you know, so we can lower the bar underneath the ground right now.
Yes. Dig a hole. Dig a hole.
Fifth grade teacher used to read the Amityville Horror to us. That was, she would
what?
Read a chapter after lunch every day until I went home and complained to my mom. My mom went to the principal's office and complained. And then there was a lot of venom towards me because I was the girl who ended the Amityville Horror being read.
Yeah. You actually were the horror.
I was.
That ended the Amityville
Horror. The Yeagleyville
Horror.
Yes, I was.
I'm so sorry. I, I'm trying to think if anybody did like inappropriately scary or inappropriately adult. Like if there's anything like that where, mm-hmm. you know, parents would get in a kerfuffle or anything like that when I was younger.
There was
I don't think
so
we had
much.
But I'm from Tucson and you're from the South. So it already seems like
it was, it's
you know,
very vibrant in the South and colorful. And there's so many characters
yeah.
of things going on. I mean, the same teacher who read The Amityville Horror, she would go out to discos at night because this was in the 80s. And she would say, Susan, what size is your foot? And I had a pretty big size foot for that age for fifth grade. Mm-hmm. So she would have me wear her chartreuse platform heels around the classroom for a couple hours to stretch them out. So when she went to the disco at night, they'd be ready to fly.
And we've established that's child labor.
That
is 100% child labor.
Yes. And so I would take off my shoes and I would put on her heels and I'd walk around. I mean, it was bananas what was going on at this school that I
grew up in. I can't believe it. Now, where was this?
In Tennessee. This was in a smaller town outside of Nashville
okay.
called Hendersonville.
Okay.
So I did the public schools there from kindergarten to 10th grade. Then 10th grade, I said to my mom and dad, I really so badly want to go to a fancy private school
mm-hmm.
and where people are going on.
Do you think that's the term you used?
I said,
and
probably.
Did you say it in a hushed tone
that? I whispered it.
I don't want to offend
And I wore this pink
room.
Sweater. And I said, I'd like to go to a school where people actually go on and do stuff
yeah.
after.
Yeah.
and rather than, well, I don't want to make fun of anybody that went to that school, but
right.
anyway, so I moved to a really great fancy private school, 10th grade, and then did 10th, 11th, 12th grade in Nashville proper.
Okay.
Great school, University School of Nashville.
University School.
USN. Mm-hmm.
So that's like if you're using the word university in your
you're
high school
classy,
title,
Janet.
That's braggy.
It's a little braggy. It was, right smack dab on Vanderbilt's campus. So
oh,
you felt
sure.
very collegiate
yes,
when you're 15 walking
yes.
around.
Yes. Oh, I like that.
I like it a lot.
I went to, yeah. I had only went to Nashville for the first time this last spring in May. Mm. And I did walk through. It is fun to go to other college campuses. I hope
yeah.
I don't seem creepy, but I really
no,
do
it's
just
great.
Like sort of looking around and you know, especially older universities like that. You know, I just didn't see anything like that growing up in the West. There isn't anything that really kind of
right.
has that flavor
the
to
charm.
It. It's very charming.
Very charming, yeah.
A lot more bachelorettes riding those bars that
oh,
are also
yes.
bicycles.
That's new to Nashville.
Yeah.
That whole
yeah.
scene of
now.
Downtown and Broadway, that's new.
Yeah.
But you can, you know, hop outside of that area, which I recommend, and going to the Loveless Cafe and getting biscuits and honey and
yeah.
the two old hippies. There's so many great little places outside of the downtown area
yeah.
too that you can go to. It's a little more peaceful.
I don't want to turn this into this conversation because it's probably denser than we have time for, but I will say, I don't know if I've talked about this before, but because I haven't really talked much about Nashville since I saw, but Brandon and I walked from the sort of downtown area where like the hotels convent, you know, I was at a podcast convention. So from there we walked to there was a place called Milk and Honey that was
yeah.
very lovely, and sort of beyond that into the neighborhoods, we went into this like charming sort of middle class African American essentially neighborhood, just from because it was Sunday, so people were out in their yards and like cooking, and it was so wonderful. And there's a beautiful view of downtown, and we were walking along, and then every like fourth house, there would just be, instead of just a single level house, there was like a weird concrete and glass like townhouse duplexy
industrial
kind of thing
yeah.
that was like super like yeah, it was just very like upper class white. It looked like it should be in like a ski mountain town kind
oh,
of.
Oh, interesting.
And it's because people, developers are going and making these families offers they can't refuse. Mm-hmm. But it was the most blatant gentrification. Like it was the
right.
most blatant, like, look at this charming old house. And look at this like concrete steel and like faux wood, mm-hmm. like wall to wall windows, like, you know, just
yeah.
very sort of like Scandi.
See, I would so go for the old house.
Yeah.
I love the charm and the
grit
and the character.
It was very interesting. It was
yeah.
very interesting because you sort of, and the way that you experience gentrification in cities, I think a lot of the time it's like, oh, look, we kicked all these people out and we gutted this building and now it's lofts, but it still kind of looks the same on the outside. This was so just like, hey, fuck you.
Crass.
Hey,
yeah.
we don't want this to look at like anything in the neighborhood as it exists now. So go ahead and just like get
Ooh.
Used to this thing. It was a strange feeling.
That's tough.
But it's one of those cities where I think that it has like, it seems to have a really wonderful blend of multicultural stuff going on.
Yes.
And then also things that are very separate, right? Which is true of a lot of places in the
right.
South.
It's just growing so much. It's blossoming and growing because I've been gone 30 years. I go back probably 3 or 4 times a year. But
to speak at the university school.
That right, to speak at the university school, to cheerlead. I show up at games. It's awkward.
Don't limit yourself to the academia side of it. Get in there and pep.
I was a cheerleader. I didn't last long in high school. I was cheerleader for maybe 3 to 4 weeks. And I had this moment after cheering for this past, our team, our school didn't have a football team. It was tiny, graduating class of 47 kids.
Yeah.
This is the fancy private school.
Right.
So we go in the locker room and I've been cheering for 3 weeks. And then it hits me. I'm eating those jalapeno cheese game nachos that are all runny.
Yes.
You know those nachos?
Wonderful.
And I go, wait a minute. I'm going out here and cheering for boys. What? No one's cheering for me.
Yeah.
And I said, the other girls, no one's cheering for us. Why are we cheering for them? Why are we putting on these cute little short skirts and twirling around?
Yeah.
And I quit.
Good for you.
And I
Who were you cheering for? What team were they?
I was cheering for our basketball team.
Oh, you did have, okay, you had a basketball team, but you didn't have a girls basketball team.
Oh,
yeah.
Well,
have a football team.
I think we had a girls basketball team, but there were no cheerleaders for the girls basketball team.
Right.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm.
This is a lot to unpack again.
Yeah.
This is like a women's studies class.
Yeah. Well, the thing is, I feel like that's, I mean, I don't know, because my dad was a cheerleader in college.
That's awesome.
So that's almost a thing where, like, you see that less. So in those days, it almost was there were more boys and girls doing this thing that now we think of as this sort of like, you know, depending on the school and the team, potentially like overtly sexual female sort of, you know.
Very kind of dance in the pageant
of
world.
Seduction.
Yeah. Right. Dance of seduction, coy, whole thing.
Not everywhere, but certainly that's, I'm sure we can all agree that sometimes you see young women cheering and you're like, oh heavens, that's a very short skirt.
That's a very short skirt. And what's underneath
that? So good for you. Yeah. You were just like, no, you know what?
Yeah, I said, no,
this
is not for me.
I'm wasting a lot of energy.
Yeah, I'm going to save my energy. I'm going to start cheering for myself, you know?
I love it.
Then I joined the school play. So after that, I thought this is probably more in alignment for me. So.
That's a way of cheering oneself on.
Isn't it?
Is look at me, everyone. I'm performing and being wonderful.
Yeah, I think so. I think Ruth Bader Ginsburg would be happy with my choice there.
Couldn't be more sure. Couldn't be more sure.
But if I wanted to be a cheerleader, not to knock it, I'd still be doing
still
it.
Be
right? I would not be here, Janet, doing your podcast.
There's two outcomes possible, that or this.
Or this. There's no gray area.
You know what I mean? You know yourself. That's important. Do you remember the first play that you went out for? And you had not done that prior to that? Or you do some little play with it a little bit when
you were
younger?
I had done, starting at the age of 10 or 11, I started to do local commercials in Nashville.
Oh.
And I'd asked my parents.
Was there a bustling scene?
It was very small, but still I would find my way around and sniff around. So I said to my mom, I said, make sure, is there any acting classes I can take? And so she would drive me around. And the acting classes in Nashville in the 80s were basically reading a Shel Silverstein play about trees and coming dressed as a tree.
Uh-huh.
Okay. And then the next week when you nailed the hickory tree, you come back and do a butterfly.
Oh, yeah.
Or you do the giving tree and then act out all the characters in the giving tree, which were two characters. So that was acting classes in Nashville. But I got a little agent and I started audition. And usually I would go in, I'd be the only one up for the part. The only one going in. So I always got it.
Oh, that's wonderful. It's like being elected against no one when you're a politician.
It was wonderful.
Running unopposed.
It's never happened since, Janet.
I really wish you know what? Your biography could be running unopposed, but then we find out that that's only a reference to you as a child actor doing commercials in Nashville. It's very limited.
It was
very limited window.
But what was funny is I got to do all these country music videos. And since I didn't sing, I would come on and bop around. So Amy Grant's music video called Angels, I was on.
Oh my God.
The video.
I gotta see these.
And then Johnny Cash. This was a fun story. So Johnny Cash, he was doing a Christmas special shooting in Nashville. And they asked me to come on because his son was going to sing the song Swingin'. And he needed me to pop up out in this pink dress. Again, here's our pink common denominator. And so the son and I got to be buddies. We're probably like 13 years old. And he said, do you want to have a play date? I think they still called it play dates back then. So I went to Johnny Cash's house when I was 13.
Whoa!
And they said, you know, do you plan to sing? And I said, oh no, Mr. Cash, I don't sing. And his mom, Mrs. June, I would call her Mrs. June. I said, no, I don't sing. And they loved me for that. They were like, come
You're the only person we know who isn't trying to get in on
our person. I said, my parents don't know anything about the business. My parents were from the north. My mom is in fertility. Like, my dad's a journalist. We have zero talent in my family. No one's knocking on your door, Johnny. No one. So I would go over and play. And then we would get in June Carter's black Cadillac and she'd drive us to Captain D's and she'd say, Sugar, she'd give me $10. Sugar, go in and could you get me some catfish and can you get me some hush puppies? And because she didn't want to go in because people recognized her.
Sure.
And I thought, I'm going to work for the Cash family. Yeah. I'm going to get them catfish. Uh-huh. I'm going to take care of these people. I'll never want a thing from them. And I think that ability to not care.
Yeah.
And never express interest in singing.
Yeah.
Was, you know, sometimes it pays off to not have talent.
Listen, for that's the advice.
Another
I want you
title
to,
of my
that's
book.
That's a real thing. That's the colon and then underneath.
Underneath
that's like the subtitle.
That,
yeah.
It is. Right.
Well, that does make sense. But what I was going to say too is, you know, sometimes if people grow up in an environment where, you know, I feel like you hear stories of people who are like, well, my daddy's friend was so-and-so, but to me, he was just Uncle so-and-so. And I never knew he was such a big,
that's
but
BS.
When you're from Nashville and you're going over to the Cashes,
I knew it the entire time.
Exactly. Yeah. You knew it was a huge deal.
My best parachute pants.
Yeah.
I had the greatest little like sweater on with Chinese lettering and jazz shoes. I wanted to look nice.
Yeah. Because that's what you wear when you want to look nice. Everyone knows.
In the 80s.
To this day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Big old hair.
Chinese letters.
I don't know what it said because it wasn't.
That wasn't something we cared. Like we didn't think we needed to know.
Never had an interest in figuring out what those letters meant. But Capizio jazz shoes.
Oh, yeah.
And I remember the first time I met him, he was upside down in one of those stretch. Mr. Cash was upside down in the stretch machines.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
like
the
gravity boots or
gravity,
oh, no, the
gravity
actual
boots. Yeah. Where you're upside down.
Yeah.
So I kind of leaned down. He looked like, because he was all dressed in black, as you would think. And I would say, hello, Mr. Cash. I'm Susan. And he said, oh, good to see you again. Hello. You know, June's in there if you want something. And it was just so, I look back up with such fondness of being a child and being embraced with such kindness and knowing too, having the clarity that it's okay to not have talent at something.
Yeah.
There's other things you can do in life. You don't have to be a singer.
Right.
And it's kind of God's irony that here I'm born in Nashville and I can't sing. And I grew up in this business where everybody, Barbara Mandrell was at church and all these country, we see Loretta Lynn at places.
I mean, you know, I'm going to get around to asking about Dolly Parton. That's like a...
I'm trying to think. The Dolly Parton story I have is that she would be on the airplane a lot. I don't know her personally. But when I would fly... because I've been on here 30 years. I would fly home from college a lot because I went to USC and I flew back to Nashville.
Sure,
and she would be on the plane. She'd always sit by the window. She probably has a private plane now because Dollywood bucks are deep. But she used to fly American Airlines. And she would sit by the window. And the flight attendant would say, as you all know, Miss Dolly Parton is on our airplane. If anybody would like an autograph, please take a cocktail napkin
no
and pass
way.
It up front. So everybody would pass their napkins up front.
Oh my God, this is a charming story.
Isn't it beautiful? And she would sign it for everybody on the plane.
There's never going to be some story that comes out where she doesn't come off as an angel on earth.
I think she's an earth angel.
I mean, are you listening to this new podcast? There's a podcast called Dolly Parton's America that is out right now. It's by the person who created it is one of the two guys from Radiolab, which is like completely not connected to anything you would necessarily associate with that. Although that is a little bit like This American Life, and that, you know, you sort of get these snapshot stories about things, but it's a little more science oriented. But his dad, Jad Abumrad, is the guy, and his dad is Dolly Parton's doctor, and they became friends in New York, weirdly. And so he ends up doing these just hours and hours of recording with her. And it's great. You got to listen to it. It's Dolly Parton's America is what it's called. And it is so moving.
Oh,
like,
I've got to hear.
I felt so moved. I don't ever like tweet. I'm not a person who really tweets at people that I don't know or anything.
Uh-huh.
And I was so compelled. I like had listened to the second episode and I was like wiping away a tear. And it felt so important to me to tweet him and his producer and be like, we just needed this right now, you guys. We needed this podcast right now.
We do need
it
right
wonderful.
Now. Wonderful. Oh, I've got it. Okay. Thank you for that.
I think you will really like it.
Thank you. Yeah.
She's a dream.
Heaven sent. She's
heaven sent.
She's none of a kind.
I mean, listen, did she hang upside down? I don't know.
I didn't know
if she pulled a Batman way Johnny Cash did, which makes a lot of sense somehow.
Yeah, I love that I first met him when he was upside down.
Oh, that's great.
It is cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was really, really neat.
Only if you had met him and he was wearing like white overalls. That would be like the other sort of like, wow, that is cool. Whoa.
Well, if he was dressed happening in that white, day? That dressed in white and maybe meditating and eating quinoa or something, that would be a really cool Johnny Cash story.
That would be very surprising.
The thing with Dolly that's interesting, you know how people say, oh, so-and-so is fake because they've had surgery or so-and-so does this. You know, she owns the fact that she wears wigs. She owns the fact that she's had work done.
Yeah.
And I really think in looking back at iconic figures, she's one of the most authentic people. She's true in her quote-unquote fakeness, right?
She's willing authentic. To say, this is what's real. This is what isn't. Yeah. I wanted that.
Right.
Who cares?
Yeah. She's so authentic in being Dolly.
Yeah.
Just deliciousness marinates in that Dolliness.
Absolutely.
And I love that with people that are just exactly who they are.
Yeah.
It is fascinating.
Know. It is. It is.
Okay, we're going to take a break. I will be back after a word from our wonderful buddies at Maximum Fun.
Hey, I'm Aneke.
And I'm James. And together, we are the self-proclaimed Wonder Twins of podcasting and host Minority Corner.
We tackle subjects like LGBTQ topics, pop culture,
and untold histories of American POCs, like the true story of escaped slave turned pirate turned Navy man in the Civil War turned congressman Robert Smalls.
Plus current events from our perspective.
Deep dive movie and TV reviews. You'll also get
awesome book recommendations from their neighborhood-friendly librarian.
Don't forget my award-winning Jennifer Hudson impressions.
And I'm telling you.
While never taking ourselves too seriously.
Minority Corner, because together,
we're the majority.
Every Friday here on Maximum Fun.
Did you feel like, I mean, it could be argued that, and this is one of the things that I love talking about adolescence because of, is this idea that sometimes when you're a teenager, you're both your most insecure, but also your most daring about sort of like what you wear and like, you know, what you try on, not just in terms of your clothes, but like who you are or what you're interested in. And there's like a boldness that comes out of that. But then at the same time, there's like such a deep preoccupation with what people think about you a lot of the time. Right. Did you have that experience in high school? Like when you came into the private school, I know that was something that you had wanted. Was there a sense of like nervousness? Was there a sense of like, I feel like I'm finally going where I belong? Like, how did you sort of come into 10th grade to go, hey, everybody, I'm me.
That I was very daring then.
Yeah.
And I was ready for change and I was psyched and I was working extra hours at the Benetton store to afford the school.
Amazing.
And in folding mock turtleneck sweaters and loving doing that. I've always loved jobs.
Yeah.
I loved the idea of commerce and making things work. So I was always like, I'll do high school, but I'm going to need to have a job because I love it.
Yeah.
I love to scoop
That's
yogurt.
Fantastic.
I love Little Caesar's Pizza.
I know. I mean, listen, you're ticking them all off. I got to know what some of these jobs were.
Yeah. Oh, Little Caesar's
Folding,
Pizza.
Little Caesar's. Little Caesar's is like a sweaty work.
That was, but there was a real cute guy named Matt Shoesmith. And he would close the store with me. He was so nice. And sometimes we would put the dough in funny body part shapes and put it through and through the oven if it was really slow at midnight. So I would speaking of Dolly, I'd do big boobies with the dough. Sure. And then I'd put them in a pan and go right through.
Sure.
And he would laugh. I'm not going to accuse Matt of doing any of this.
Yeah, not
this
Matt.
I'm just going to talk about myself.
Sure.
And own my own story,
great.
Janet.
Yes, I appreciate that.
But it was fun to put, oh, I'm going to make some funny Dumbo ears and then put sauce on it. And this, so it was creative.
I
loved every time I could get a job and get a check and work.
Yeah.
It was
fun. Did you have a preference between kind of food service stuff and like the, just like textiles?
I was
clothes,
pretty hoary like, about it. I mean, I did all of it. I loved pizza. I did as good as it gets frozen yogurt, which was wonderful.
Did you feel that it was as good as anyone could got?
It was as great as it could get.
Yeah.
It was so fun.
I do love frozen. If maybe the number one thing I miss about like eating sugary stuff.
You don't eat sugar?
I don't have a lot of processed sugar anymore just because like, you know, a doctor was like, stop doing that because you have stomach issues when, you know, like 15 years ago or something. So I do have stuff that's kind of sugary, but I miss going to like, you know, just the some sort of sundae bar or frozen yogurt where
Baskin
you can
t-
give your own toppings so nobody's giving you the side eye because you're just in there shoveling gummy bears or I guess gummy bears maybe not so much, but like chunks of Snickers,
Butterfinger,
and Jimmy's and Butterfinger and Oreos
delicious.
And all of that,
all of it,
and being able to not immediately be sick or just completely crash, like somehow metabolizing that in a way that didn't make you go, I'm never doing that again.
Yeah, just there's something about a 16-year-old body. You just feel fantastic. Oh, I would, God. When people weren't in the store, I put my mouth under that squirter. And I wouldn't put my mouth on it because I'm not a pig.
That's right.
But I would put about 4 inches below and I'd pull that puppy down and that, you know, creme de luce or whatever, all those
just
the coffee flavor.
Syrupy.
It would just go straight down my throat and I'd be, I thought it was great. Listening to Adamant, I'd turn up Adamant and I would just squeeze that into my mouth, which sounds kind of porny, but it was great. Each job was really great.
Now that you've said that, I can't imagine a Van Halen video of like a girl or an Aerosmith video of a girl working at the frozen yogurt place.
Frozen yogurt place, and she's touching her boobies and she's squirting down. Yeah, puts it in her ear.
A lot of drizzling.
Licks it up with her spoon.
Oh, hell yeah.
It's so Van Halen, isn't it?
It really is.
Rat or Poison. Any of those groups would have had a frozen yogurt. It would have been like something about... I can just see it. She'd pull up in a big bike, like a motorcycle, right? In a bikini. She'd get out. It's hot. She throws the towel down. She comes in, and there's like two in this video would be two Coke bottle glasses, like nerdy guys.
I was about to say the exact same
teacher.
Thing. Yeah, and they're like, oh, "What's happening to me?" And everything. Yeah, yeah. Oh, God, I'd love to see this happen.
Yeah.
Maybe less so at the pizza place, but I love the making body parts through. You know, I worked at Subway for a minute, and we had to, like, toast bread, but I guess it always just isn't – it's in a shape, so it never occurred to me to, like, try to
– You can't maneuver
twist any dough
right.
It's or already, anything
it's preset.
Like that.
It's preset. Little Caesars was raw dough, so it was up to – you could do your hand. You could do the country of Spain. Uh-huh. You could do a turkey. You know, you could – whatever you wanted to do.
Yeah.
It was fun.
Do you have brothers and sisters?
I have a sister who's older.
Okay.
And so she lives in Georgia and has two daughters. I would say the background music in the room of me growing up in the South was having a gay parent.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. That was which I was not allowed to talk about.
Oh, okay.
Because the South.
Sure.
And the 70s and 80s. So,
sure.
So I had a mom who is now able and is married to her partner.
How wonderful.
Which I'm thrilled about because gay marriage was legalized in Tennessee a few years back.
Yes.
But they've been together for most of my life.
Oh my God. Susan, I had no idea. That's so great.
It is great. And I'm really, really proud of the country being able to wake up to this. And people ask me about gay rights and how long have I been for gay rights? And I've said, if you have a parent who's gay, you've been for your entire life.
Absolutely.
It is to me so obvious.
Absolutely.
But when our son was born, I had Kevin in the room and my two moms.
That's terrific.
And I just feel real lucky
to
have that. And I'm really grateful for that this country is progressing. We're not perfect. There's so much work that needs to be done. That's a whole nother podcast. But
It's important to identify those things and feel grateful and you know, get hope from those,
from all of the progress.
Than just, you know, because I think when things get really hard or perceived as hard by, you know, anybody who isn't sort of on board for whatever the regime happens to be at the moment, there is a sense of despondency and a sense of like, especially with this administration, people feel so like gobsmacked that they're just like, I just don't know. All bets are off. Like, I guess all the rules are broken. So I guess there's nothing anyone can do. You know what I mean? And so there's a desperation and a sadness that comes with that. That is so important to counterbalance by going like, no. Like, don't walk away.
We're don't
fucked.
Throw in the towel.
Yeah.
And now what's so beautiful is to say my mom's wife and why that matters, because so many people go, oh, can't they just be partners? Why does marriage matter? But there's so many rights, thousands of rights that they get by being married that they don't get if they're partners or they're friends. And more so when my son was doing his family tree in seventh grade, he's able to say now, my mom and her wife.
Yeah.
We're giving him that dignity for his family tree. He knows his story.
Absolutely.
And that's something people don't think about is the grandchildren, the great-grandchildren, that we all get this cozy warmth, the security of marriage from them, that it is so far-reaching.
Yeah.
And that's what I'm really grateful
for. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Now, did you have a relationship with your stepmom's family?
Yes.
It worked on both sides. It wasn't like her family was like, oh no, or you know, they were open to.
Right. We have all grown. There's been lots of therapy involved. There's been a lot of talking. There's been a lot of tears. There's been a lot of going through this experience together.
Yeah.
And I think maybe if we had been born and raised in San Francisco or New York, maybe it would have been a different experience, but we were really slow, like molasses. It took a long time for all of us to kind of figure it out. And
sure.
Who are we to each other?
Sure.
Who are her children to me?
Yeah.
What's our good relationship like going forward? I have to say now it is as delightful and as sparkly and sweet as it could possibly be.
Yeah.
Because we've done all the work.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. As a teenager, when you were in high school, when you were doing the play, and all that kind of stuff, was that something that you could talk about with your friends, or was that, that was sort
just
of like
with my boyfriend,
which is hard, right? To be a young person like that and just sort of feel like, oh, I have a thing that
I had a secret.
Yeah.
And the only person I would talk to was my boyfriend. I had a great boyfriend for 3 years.
Mm. Which all through high school. Means that you were essentially married in high school, because that's an incredibly long relationship.
That was
so
long.
I mean, really, my friend had the same thing. She had a long-term relationship for like all 4 years of high school. And when I think about the amount of other hookups that she witnessed all of her friends have, where like, how funny it must have been to her to hear her friend over and over being like, I think I'm really in love this time. And then like 2 months later being like, you know, it must have just seemed so like, actually, you actually perceive it as like, oh, bless.
Yeah.
Like,
bless their hearts.
I'm in a thing. I don't know what's going on over here.
I was in a thing. Yeah. For 3 years, 3.5 years. I've always been in these big, hearty relationships.
Yeah.
I love commitment and responsibility. And if there was something beyond marriage, I would do it. If they said, okay, there's marriage, but then there's this next level you can do with someone called I would go, okay, I want that thing.
Yeah.
I like it. So, I like commitment so much.
Yeah.
I like responsibility, because I feel freer in commitment than I do by being by myself. I feel freer.
And you felt like that even back when everybody was just skittish as hell, as a young person.
Everybody's scared of commitment. I go, oh no, I will find myself by being with a partner. I will be more.
I mean, that's profoundly mature to be a kid, don't you think?
But this is a person making penis balls at Little Caesars. Okay?
I felt I could make penises and balls as graffiti in a more profound way
with pizza dough.
As long as I was in a committed relationship.
Thank you for your kindness,
someone.
But I don't think I was really a sage as much as just. I was always with really great people, great people, a couple of dogs, but you know, that's what the 90s were for.
That's right. Got to process through
a couple of fun, dirty dogs. But you got to have that, right? Like you have to have a couple of things that you go, that didn't work out, but boy, it's a great story for the great grandchildren.
Great story. Oh. And just another way of sort of recognizing when something feels right in a different, you know, longer term way and all that
you
kind of stuff.
You need the sunshine, you need the rain.
Absolutely.
It. Yes, you do.
Well, look, this is an awkward time for me to try to recruit you, but having been required to go to Mormon church with my mom growing up, I would like to offer you up the opportunity to convert to Mormonism, because then you can get married in the temple and you will be married for all eternity.
Oh my gosh.
There's a few sets of rules that you'll have to follow, including wearing garments.
Are they pink?
I mean, here's what I would suggest. And listen, I don't know if this is like a life hack for Mormons, but I would suggest taking something very bright red and quote unquote accidentally washing your white garments with this red item.
The candy cane color.
And then you're going to accidentally end up with pink garments. And it's not your fault.
No, Jesus wanted that.
Jesus clearly wanted that.
Of course he did.
So if you, I don't know if you and Kevin are open to it. You both seem, you know, particularly like you're game to just buy into a religion that you don't know anything about.
Yeah.
Not thinkers, considerers, or questioners. Get right on into that, but you know what? It's funny. I make fun, but that is one of the things that does really appeal to people. Because, and when you're little growing up in the Mormon church, you're told that you will be that, you know, the right thing to do, or if you're lucky, your whole family goes to the temple and you become quote unquote sealed as a family. And forever there's like and ever. Forever for all eternity. Now, the flip side of that is like as a child, you start worrying, what if we don't do? Wait, so if we don't do this, like I'm just going to be lost somewhere, unable to find my mom because we weren't sealed in the church wow. together. So there's like
how
a lot
did
of
you
stuff
do this?
That I had to do it. My mom had custody of me on Sundays up through graduating high school. And then when I moved away, I didn't
is she
ever
still Mormon?
Continue. She, yeah. A lot of my mom's side of the family is, and it really works for them. And I totally respect that. A lot of the cousins have sort of fallen away like uh-huh. me. But
did
there
you drink
is something.
At all?
Oh yeah. I was not following any of the rules. I never went to the temple, certainly. Uh-huh. But this idea of like, yeah, you know, don't worry because you're going to be together even after you die. You're just going to go live in this beautiful celestial place with your family. And
well, who doesn't want that?
Who doesn't want that?
Yeah. Give me a check, right? I'll write a check for that. That
oh, wait,
great.
Do I give you one of my checks and then
oh,
you
no,
fill okay. my check out?
No, that's what I was going to say. You give me your check and uh-huh. then I'll write it to okay. friend Janet and Susan and Brandon to the Mormon. Is it Tabernacle? What is the name? United Mormon?
You know what?
Mormon?
Let's write it to the Tabernacle. They have beautiful singing
that.
Voices.
Do you know that a friend of mine told me that one in LA, you know, the big one that's
the temple on, like the Santa Monica temple?
Yeah, it's huge. It's kind of Culver City's.
It's the one by the Westfield Shopping Center.
Yes, it is.
A different kind of palace.
Well, somebody told me that they had a cab driver that just first got to LA and someone told him it was Michael Jackson's house. It's very believable. And they were like, stop, I want to take pictures
believable.
Of it. It looks very much like it could be
absolutely.
Michael Jackson's house. It's so...
Or Liza's house.
Or Liza's. Like or yeah. maybe even Cher.
Or maybe even Cher.
Why not?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh,
it's
God.
Very
it's,
grand
it's,
and audacious.
Yes. Yes. Their temple, well, that's the thing is, and I won't spend too much time on this, but the regular sort of meeting houses are extremely modest. There's no stained glass. There's no
oh,
nothing.
Really?
They're these very like... you know, sort of box-shaped little chapels that they just don't have a lot of, they seem very, they just seem like a meeting place. Like, not really, you know, there just isn't like, there's no crosses. Mormons don't really do crosses or anything like that. But then the temple, that's where the good stuff is.
That's where they put the money.
That's where the secret rooms and the baptisms oh. and the like, the washing Ooh. Of, there's this like a ritual, like washing that you get before you go, you know.
I want it secret room.
And,
such
I know.
Secret room is
I know.
Cool.
I know.
See, look, whatever it takes, it's hard to be any one of us. That's my thing.
Yeah.
It's hard to be
yeah.
spinning on this earth.
Yes.
We're spinning every day and making choices, right?
Yeah.
Whatever you got to do to get through the day that you're
yes.
not harming someone or yourself.
And not, and, right. and ideally not judging people for not, that's the
not
that's
being
where it gets
like
tricky.
You.
Yeah.
Right.
But it's hard when you feel like, I mean, when you feel like something's really working for you, that's what I always try to talk, to say or think to myself when someone's sort of proselytizing, not just with that religion, but with anything. You know, someone could be like, you've got to see Tony Robbins speak. I am telling you, this man will
We're
change your life. Okay. You know what? I'm going to give you a check. Your check to write to him. I'm just gonna. I will get your checkbook. But yeah, you know what I mean. But like,
have you gone to Tony Robbins?
Like, no.
I sort of want to go.
Yeah,
just to do it.
I think some people maybe are suing him. I'm not sure.
Oh,
there's some kind of something.
A little touchy or something.
Yeah, well, you know, I was talking to I was talking to somebody who had like was a journalist who had a story about that, and it was totally shut down because it was one of those like classic sort of Ronan Farrow type, like an expose where he was like, I have this amazing story. And the publisher was like, oh, no, we're owned by such and such and such and such is friends with so-and-so. And you are not telling the story about Tony Robbins.
Ooh.
Ooh. Yeah. Want to break this?
No,
break
I was going to say, wow, let me just dial CNN with my toes.
Please. I don't know why I keep that phone down there. I don't know why I keep a rotary phone
it's
down there.
It's crazy because Dana Bash is picking up right
in
now.
Case of emergency.
Okay, yes.
In case of emergency. I don't know. Okay, so Lil Susan Yeagley
yes.
does not sing, does
no.
do commercials.
Oh, yes, she does.
Music videos.
Mm-hmm.
Hangs out with the Cashes.
And just so you
buys
know,
June's hush puppies.
Yes, I bought her catfish and her hush puppies. Just so you know what the monetary breakdown was for this. When I did Amy Grant's music video,
mm-hmm.
I was paid because my mother kept the pay stub. I got $25 and an Amy Grant album.
Oh,
yeah. That was part of the thing is you will get $25 for working
in,
for the day.
In kind.
And you get her Christian album. And they mailed
signed?
It to my house. Not signed.
Okay. Well, how many people were in that video? She couldn't have. I mean, Dolly Parton was known to sign cocktail napkins, from what I understand.
From an entire American Airlines flight.
From an entire flight, and that's just one flight.
Right.
Amy Grant's not going to make that many music videos. She can't personalize
a. There were maybe seven of us, and maybe eight. No. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to circle back about that and see.
Yeah, I knew who.
If we can get that signed.
Listen, I wish I could be your fan. It's just I'm so busy. I have so many other people that I need to be fans of. So unfortunately, I'm not going to be able to be her fan.
But here's $25.
But I will. But for some reason, I'm sending her $25. I'm not sure what happened in this conversation, but I ended up paying Amy Grant $25. I don't know. I was trying to impress Susan.
Is that
I was
check
weird.
That we're supposed to send the Mormons?
Yes.
And ended up
yes.
with Amy Grant.
The fact of the matter is, neither Susan nor I should have started our accounting firm, but we did start it.
We did.
And now we're being sued.
We're open for business.
Oh,
yes, we are.
Bye. Okay. So you're and how this the boy that you met in high school? Did he go to that same high school?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you really were. Like day in, day out,
always together,
married couple.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I was 15, so that's pretty much you're married.
Yeah.
Right.
Did he live nearby?
Near enough. We made it that, I mean, he would play basketball, so I would get out of school senior year at 12 o'clock, which was so cool, and I'd go to the Benetton store and fold mock turtlenecks and sweaters. And I'd run the whole store and I loved it
at
the age of 17, 18. And then he would finish basketball and come to the Benetton store and hang out with me. Then he'd usually bring me dinner. It was very sweet. You know,
There's one thing I need to call out, which is that was he or was he not on the basketball team that you decided you did not want to cheerlead for?
This was great. Yes, he
Objection,
was.
Your Honor.
Yes, he was. But he was cool with me quitting.
Yeah. And even if he hadn't been, you still would have quit because that's a Susan I know.
Yeah, right. Because even if, right.
If exactly. he had been like, I'm uncomfortable with this.
Then I'd be like, okay. Why not? Okay.
Yeah.
I would be.
See ya.
I'm snapping.
Yeah, there's
fingers.
A lot of snapping.
There's a lot of snapping.
It seemed like it was almost a shape, but it wasn't. It sort of just became
a
flurry.
It looked like I was swatting a fly.
Yeah.
That's what it was. It wasn't cool at all.
Do me a favor. Would you dial an exterminator with on your little rotary phone down there? Thank you. Again, rotary phone.
Again,
so
I can't give my address out. Your address.
Oh, please don't. Okay. Please don't. Just send it right to P22, care of Griffith Park. What else did I want to ask you? Did you get big roles when you started doing play stuff at school? Like, did you come in? Were you hot shit? Was it like, hi, guys, Amy Grant video. I'm here to play the Belle of the Ball.
I felt because I moved to this school, I was able, I don't want to brag, but I was getting top scripts. I was Meryl Streep of this little school.
What kind of plays were you guys doing?
We were doing Pirates of Penzance.
Oh, okay. You lucky devil.
So there was a lot of corsets.
Yeah.
I can't even say it. Corset wearing.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, I loved Gus Gillette was the name of our drama teacher.
That's a great name.
Isn't it great?
Yeah.
And sadly, he passed away a couple years ago.
R.
But
R. P.
his
Gillette.
Wife asked me to come back and speak at his funeral, which was really sweet.
I was not so far off when I said you were going back to speak at something.
Your gut was right. I wanted to go back in my Pirates of Penzance outfit, but I couldn't find it.
For the
fun for the funeral, because Gus would have gotten that. He was cool.
Yeah.
He was just
the
coolest drama teacher.
Aww.
And he would do sword fighting in his classroom, and he would have us do really cool monologues and very avant-garde. He was from Santa Cruz, so we thought he was crazy cool.
Oh, sure, sure.
Because he was.
Yeah.
If you're from California and you're in Tennessee.
Yeah, that's huge.
Awesome.
Yeah.
So yeah, just whatever play.
So were you Mabel? Wait, you couldn't sing. Hold on.
I couldn't sing, but I would.
What if you had someone
else chorus
singing
sing
behind
That's
you?
That's right.
And
I had Taylor Swift behind me.
Yeah.
Right? She wasn't born yet, but.
Side note, I wanted to be the Pirate King. Bad.
Oh yeah.
And I've never, that was far too sophisticated for my drama. I mean, there was nothing like that when I was in, we had a little theater
and
that was pretty much it.
You couldn't cross over and do.
Yeah. I don't think we did. I mean, I got to be Puck, which was like very exciting, especially because I'm very tall. So it felt like I was getting away with something because I wasn't like pixie-ish. But that Pirate King role. Have you seen the movie with Kevin Kline?
Yes, yes.
That's why.
I love
Kevin Kline.
Because
I was like, first of all, I'm having very sexual feelings for a very hairy-chested man at like age 7. What's happening to me?
Kevin
Kline. Why'd I skip past Michael J. Fox and go straight to mustachioed Kevin Kline?
Yeah.
But
Kevin Kline. And then a fish called Wanda.
Yeah.
Oh, he just was.
And also, that was a very, there's a lot of ribald, sexy, like he was very horny in that movie too. So you're like, I don't understand. Like, I'm having these strange feelings about someone sniffing a boot that's like inflating and deflating in his mouth. What's happening?
Yeah.
There were fun, strange, confusing times.
It was very much a Judy Blume book for you.
Very much. Mm-hmm. Very much. Pirates mm-hmm. of Penzance. Yeah. Uh-huh.
I'll rent that tonight. So you were Mabel, but you
didn't have to sing her songs.
Well, I would always do chorus work.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I'd always be one of
But doesn't many. She sing songs?
Yeah, but it would be a bunch of girls, and then we would all pipe in together. And Gus knew that I was very limited vocally, so he would bring other people in to like dry ho 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 chai ho ho ho. Like they would these people do you like my voice? Isn't it beautiful? Is it a beautiful voice?
Again, I don't remember her singing the pirate parts. That sounded like if anything, and it's a bit of a stretch, if anything, it might be the pirate music. I'm not sure that qualifies for like poor wandering Juan.
No, poor Juan. No, it doesn't qualify at all. Yeah. I was also the Wicked Witch. Again, not a singing part in mm-hmm. The Wizard of Oz.
Okay, yeah.
I didn't want to audition for Dorothy because I thought that's too bland and I wanted to stretch myself.
Oh, you lucky devil.
Did Julius Caesar in school. Which was really sad because I was really young. I think fourth grade or fifth grade. They couldn't find a guy to do it. So I wore a man wig. I looked like a Donny Osmond. And sadly, the toga got stuck in my panties.
Oh,
and so
no.
When I did my E2 Brute, So I Shall Die scene, I turned around, everybody's laughing. And this could have really stopped me from being an actress.
Yeah.
But I had my toga stuck into my panties.
Yeah.
You know, and
that is like a quintessential, like that
actor
you made every parent in that audience's world for a year. Like isn't that secretly what all people are hoping for when they go see a fourth like grade production of Julius Caesar? You're damn right. Somebody's panties are going to get caught in their vice versa.
Yeah.
So like that is, mwah, you know what I mean? That's like
it was real.
The movie Parenthood where like all the shit starts to go wrong and things are being, they're falling over. That's what you want from young kids doing, you know, mature stuff.
Yeah.
You want to see those. Well,
I want it now.
Well, but
I would actually love, I love mistakes now.
Yeah.
I will go and see a play just to watch the people that have small parts on stage and see what their stage business is. I'll watch a movie and I watch the extras.
Oh my God. I cannot take my eyes off the
extras. I cannot keep.
Love it.
Oh, if there was a boom in the frame in the shot, delightful.
Yeah.
But the best still is watching TV commercials and you'll see whoever the spokesperson is, blah, 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 blah. And then look at the tables. Let's say it's a restaurant. Look at those extras.
Yeah.
Because that's fantastic for me, watching those people.
Yeah.
Because what are they making, $60?
Yeah.
God bless them. And
did you ever do that?
I did extra work two times, I think, to get my SAG card.
Me too.
To get a voucher.
Both of mine were Nash Bridges.
Nash Bridges?
Because that shot up in San Francisco when I was in school
Johnson.
There.
Don Johnson.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
No, he was cute.
Listen, there was a lot of chemistry on that set between him and the girl who played his daughter.
Oh, the girl who played his daughter?
I think they were involved. No.
Oh, okay.
But you know who's very nice to me? It was Cheech Marin.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
Had some pizza with Cheech Marin. Very nice, very funny man.
Oh, that's mm-hmm. good to know.
Yeah. But I didn't interact with Don, so maybe he would have been nice. But again, I think they were very much together. Like, I really am pretty positive he was having a relationship with the girl who played his daughter. Yeah.
Okay.
That was certainly the scuttlebutt.
She wasn't too old for him? No, I'm just curious. I mean, I don't know him, but I just sometimes people that play the daughter are only 10 years younger.
Right, right, right. And I'm pretty sure she was like 20
I'm in a relationship
younger.
With someone, just FYI, kids. I'm in a relationship with someone 18 years older than me, so I feel like I can say.
No, that's fair. That's fair.
Yeah.
But I mean, I think she was like 18. I mean, she was my age. She might have been younger than
me.
And I was like 19. I don't know. How old was he? 50?
During Nash Bridges?
Maybe. I don't know. He kind of looks the same. So,
again,
so, yeah, he
my
looks great.
Feet are going to Google this right now on your phone.
Do, please do. In fact, I need a long-term intern if your feet want to stick around and just be my unpaid intern. I know you like jobs.
I love jobs. I
if I can find
jobs.
You something for your hands to fold while your feet are Googling.
Oh, my God. I love it. I love
can
it.
Can you be here full
just
time?
Just being productive. Just knowing.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes if you just do a load of laundry, if you're down about something, take dirty laundry. Then clean it after an hour And then you put it, your little underwear back to the panties in triangles, and you put that fresh smelling laundry in a drawer. Hello. Productivity. That is, everything's right in the world.
I couldn't agree more.
And you go, oh, well, I woke up this morning, I had dirty laundry, I went to bed, it's clean.
Yeah.
Isn't that great?
It's a great way to not work if you're trying to write something.
Oh, it's a great way to not work.
Could not be easier to avoid if you can, if I can do stuff around the house.
Right.
I don't mind saying I am a real homemaker and I love it.
Yeah.
I love to garden. And when I say garden, by the way, that does not mean that there's any skill involved. It just means like this plant seemed like it was getting too big for this pot, so I moved it to this pot. it's not like I'm like, and then I went and checked out on my sugar snap peas on their vine. No, I don't have anything like that.
Yeah,
but
you move the pots around. That's being an astute gardener.
Pay attention.
Yeah.
Oh, it's time for a quick break. I will be back after a word from our friends at Maximum Fun.
Hi, I'm Biz.
And I'm Teresa.
And we host When Bad Mother, a comedy podcast about parenting.
Whether you are a parent or just know kids exist in the world, join us each week as we honestly share what it's like to be a parent.
These are really hard questions.
They are really hard questions.
I don't have any answers for them.
I don't either.
Sack of garbage. Hi, I'm Biz.
And I'm Teresa.
And we host When Bad Mother, a comedy podcast about parenting.
Whether you are a parent or just know kids exist in the world, join us each week as we honestly share what it's like to be a parent.
These are really hard questions.
They are really hard questions.
I don't have any answers for them.
I don't either.
Sack of garbage.
I know.
The end of the show will just be 5 minutes of Biz and Teresa crying and screaming until the outro is played. So join us each week as we judge less, laugh more, and remind you that you are doing a great job.
Find us on MaximumFun.org, on Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I got to get into this MASH game with you. I cannot
believe
the time. She has a flown. That was not Middle English or Old English, I want to warn you. Although when you said that your friend Matt Shoesmith, I was thinking to myself in the back of my mind, like, I almost made like the nerdiest dad joke of like, oh, I wonder what his family did back in Old England times.
Yes.
Because it seems pretty obvious. And then, I was listening to you. It's just my brain was having a tiny split second
conversation,
which was also like, I wonder what Shoesmith is in Old English. And then I was like, was it like Shoesmith? There's something about Old English that sounds more like it sounds like it's connected more. You know, because I'm very bad at geography. Mm-hmm. And for the longest time, I was like, why does Shakespeare keep writing about the Danes? And then I was like, oh, they're next door. They're next door to each other.
They're not in Iowa. Right.
And when you hear older sounding English, and I'm sure I'll get a ton of tweets of people being like, Janet, nice try. But no, none of this is true. But it sounds a lot more Scandinavian than you would think. But it's like, oh, of course. Like that, it would make sense that those languages would originally sort of maybe sound slightly more like each other.
Right. And he could have been sleeping with a Dane. Right.
Oh,
And that could have influenced his writing. Ooh, let's just start that rumor.
What if Shakespeare was involved with a young Danish prince, and that's why Hamlet was written?
Ooh, I would love to know. Wouldn't you
That'd
love to go back in time?
Yeah.
Oh, there's you know so what? Many things I want to know.
Done. First category.
First category.
You can go back and either solve specific mysteries from time or just visit a certain era, but you're in a safety bubble. You can visit, check it out. Nothing bad's going to happen to you. Three. Times and places.
Marie Antoinette's beheading. Because I have a connection. I go whenever I'm in Paris, I go there and I just walk around where that is because
at Versailles?
Yeah. Well, no, in the town of Paris where they don't, I think it's they call it what the Concord, the area, they don't mark it where all the beheadings were because it's kind of a stain on history.
Yeah.
So whereas in America we would have an amusement park up.
Right.
We would capitalize on it.
Yeah.
But the French rightfully so, don't want to discuss all the beheadings. So something with the beheadings.
Okay, great.
Okay.
Marie Antoinette got it.
Yeah. Because I'm not for beheading people. Just don't tweet me.
I don't think the takeaway from anyone is going to be that you're for
beheading. No one's getting
people.
That takeaway.
Yeah.
I would also love, what am I drawn to? Victorian times would be lovely.
Yeah.
I mean, of course, I don't like that they didn't have Wi-Fi, but the clothing, the sense of walking through town with a basket with eggs and getting fresh eggs and the propriety, the manners, the mm-hmm. old school manners.
Can we agree mm-hmm. that there's a reason why a lot of horror takes place with Victorian era furniture and clothes and stuff, though? Like, yes. Isn't that sort of the creepiest time?
It's ghostly.
It's ghostly.
Yes. You always feel, even in those Victorian homes, that they're haunted.
Yeah.
There is something. And the women, you know, women who are ghosts never look like they're from Woodstock.
No, they don't.
Throughout they don't. Time,
yeah.
they're not.
It's a very popular time to die and become a ghost.
Right. It was Victorian time.
Yeah.
Because there's no ghosts that look like Debbie Gibson from the 80s. And they're never walking around a hotel that's very modern, right?
I couldn't want to write this spoof with you more of a haunted place that's haunted by 80s ghosts. Where you're like, oh my God, she
hurts. Why are we doing this podcast now? I think we need to be writing this.
Her scrunchie.
Yeah.
Her scrunchie. It wiggled at me.
Yeah.
It'll be, God.
Everybody Wang Chung tonight. Boo.
Was Debbie Gibson electrocuted? She keeps singing Electric Youth. Electric Youth. It's terrifying. Oh, you're so right. Gosh. Okay, Victorian times.
Again, then we could throw in the girl going into yogurt place from the Van Halen video as a ghost.
100%.
She comes
she
in. She choked.
On the guzzle. She was guzzling that dulce de leche.
Asphyxiation.
And she was smothered by it.
She was smothered by a big fudge ball. And then she haunted the whole mini mall.
Yeah. Ooh. Oh, this is fabulous. Ugh, I hate to move on, but give me a third one.
Keep going. Oh, yeah. a third time.
We got a lot of work
Let's just go 1950s, because I like happy days.
Yeah.
I like those little poodle skirts. Again, we never see a girl that haunts something with a poodle skirt.
No. But I feel like you're getting, at least that's costumey enough in a different, it's not like a laid back. It's just uptight enough that it's almost uptight.
Yeah. It's proper. The whole Grease. I like the Sandra Dee. The little buttoned up, you and
like
play,
Peter Pan.
You and I
collar.
Play the good girl, right?
Yeah.
Which is why, because we're really filthy.
Yeah, we don't like that at all.
No.
Yeah, that was a very dull situation.
But how often do you and I ever go in for the evil?
Never.
Zero times.
Never the like funny best friend, really. Always like the one that reacts to everyone else. Like,
country club.
You're crazy.
Yeah.
Or country club. Country club. Or like upscale bitchy.
Mm-hmm. Or flight attendant with a heart of gold.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. 100%.
Mm-hmm.
God, like two peas in a pod. Not that I garden. Okay.
Two peas in a podcast.
Hey.
No.
What
to do now? Hey, I'm cheering. I'm back to cheering.
The classic cheer. Hey, what you doing?
I forgot how you actually cheer for.
Tell me more about your stuff.
Yeah. Hey, keep running. Hey, keep scoring. Hey, keep running. And then I would always not know if it's innings or seasons or quarters or innings.
Yeah.
I would mess up all the.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well. All right, back to MASH.
We can't all be cheerleaders.
No, we can't.
That's the name of my...
Your book.
Because I definitely was never one. Okay, next category. Give me three places in the world that you would like to have a vacation home, whatever that means to you, sitting on a beach or tooling around Paris.
I would love a gorgeous flat in Paris.
Great. Agreed.
I would love an apartment in Cape Town, South Africa.
I've never been to Cape Town. Oh, I've never been to Africa.
Cape Town is just so clean and beautiful, and the hiking and the penguins on the beach. The penguins on the beach. I love that. A third place would be back in Nashville.
Great.
Even though I have family that they have homes there, but I would love a big country home with acres of land and animals. And
I can't guarantee what kind of house you're going to get, because this is where the mansion, apartment, shack or house comes in.
Okay.
So you may end up with an apartment in Nashville. I don't know. I don't control that. Okay,
don't.
I don't control that.
Okay.
Don't try to put in a good word or give me someone else's check.
Okay.
Because I do not control that. Okay. Next category is, this is one of my perennial favorites, three foods that in this life are either they're fattening, you're allergic, you feel like, oh, there's too much mercury in the fish, or, I don't feel right about eating this thing. For whatever reason, in this alternate universe, everything is the same level of good for you. It's like, there's just zero negative ramifications for you or anyone else. Anything.
So what I would just go for right now, let's say at 11 o'clock tonight, I'm dying.
Yeah.
A rocket's going to hit me through the eyeballs, and I can eat whatever I want
right
from now to 11 p.m.
Yes.
I would first order a baked potato the size of my head.
Great.
I would slather it with butter, sour cream, chives.
Great.
Little hot sauce on the side.
How do you feel about cheese on baked potatoes?
Oh, sure. Yeah. I'd put that all over it. Yeah. I mean, everybody else is getting on it.
Yeah.
I would throw cheese on it.
Great.
I would say loaded baked potato would be my number one thing I would have.
Great.
Number two, I would have a glass of champagne.
Great.
I like bubbly champagne.
Beautiful.
And I would have that, and I would cut the cheese taste with the baked potato. That
Smart.
Would be like a good mix.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
My third thing I would have, it would be, again, in the potato family, I'm going to go with the sweet potato.
Oh, great.
And then I'm
okay.
going to use the butter from the first choice mm-hmm. and bring it over to the sweet potato. Mm-hmm. And maybe add some marshmallows.
You're only going to get one of these.
Oh, so, I only get one of them? Okay.
And now I've turned it into a very sad situation where
okay.
you're either going to have a loaded baked potato champagne or a sweet potato.
Okay.
Now, third category, this is the romance category. So in this alternate universe, three people, it could be characters from a book, it could be, Paul Newman circa the 60s, living or dead, real or imaginary, three that you want to have sexy or romantic times with
okay.
in your alternate universe.
So I love my husband, but he would agree with me. I don't need to put his name down on there because
Wonderful.
That's, we don't want to use
what
up
a
that
waste.
Category.
What a waste.
Right? Because we love him.
Yeah.
He's wonderful. He would
yeah.
take up all three slots.
Yes.
So I'm moving on to other three.
Yes.
I would go Rachel Maddow.
Great.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Number
Very
two,
strong pick.
Strong pick. Number two, Brad Pitt.
Great.
Number three, Abraham Lincoln.
Great. Wonderful. Okay. Next.
And right after he freed the slaves, like when he's coming off of that. Because I think he's psyched and I would be so proud of him.
Yeah.
And I would be like, take off that stovepipe hat.
Or leave it on.
Leave it on. Leave it on, Abe.
And then he can't get through the door because he's so tall.
He's
on the
so
stovepipe
tall.
Hat and then he bonk. Yeah.
Yeah. But I like this, the crazy suit and the shoes
yeah.
and just everything. And he'd be like, hey, I just freed the slaves. I'd go, get over here, bad
yeah.
boy.
I love it. Very sexy. I guarantee you there's a pornography that is available to read or watch
again,
that essentially
he,
captures that.
A lot of ghosts do look like him, though. Do you see that we're overlapping
That's true.
Here?
That's true.
So many ghosts are in that.
So many ghosts
looking,
are living in the regret of having the beard with no mustache.
Right.
A lot of regret.
It's not even handlebar. It's full on goatee. I mean, it's
yeah.
not a goatee.
It's just like a wrap of hair along like a chin strap almost.
Right. A wrap of I don't know, hope.
A wrap of hope.
Yeah.
Bless. Love everything about it. Okay, three talents that you would not mind at all waking up with tomorrow. You've sort of downloaded it in Matrix style. You wake up and you're like, oh, I know Kung Fu, or I'm an amazing singer, or fill in the blank.
I would love to be an amazing singer.
Let's get that in there.
Let's just get that in there and get that out of the way so
yeah.
that I wake up. I mean, if I could open my mouth and I could sing Send in the Clowns like Streisand does, oh, God almighty. I would just lose my balls. I would be so excited.
Yeah.
Okay. Second talent I wish I could do. It would be great to be able to really cook
yeah.
or bake in a way that is where I don't have to measure stuff all the time.
Yeah. You're just like,
you just
pinch
know
of this,
it.
Little scoop of that.
And everybody's like, oh, have you tried Susan's
yeah.
little rosemary tarts?
Yeah. And you're like, I know this sounds crazy, but there are a little bit of soap flakes in there. You
yes.
don't, I try things that no one else is, that everyone's afraid to try. And that's why my stuff is so special.
Yeah. It'd be the kind of thing like, you guys didn't know this, but like the seat on an exercise bike, if you grate it, it goes really well on top of a muffin.
If you grate it.
So I want to be like
yeah.
those people that's like, it has actually got great charcoal in it.
Oh,
it's
yes.
really good for enzymes
yes.
and collagen.
Yes.
I would love to have this special world where I could put in ingredients and just be so effortless about it.
Yes. Yes. I couldn't support that more.
Yeah.
Particularly grating the exercise bike. Okay. and then, yeah, what's your third one? Third talent.
It would be great to be stylish as fuck.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay. You know those old ladies? I mean, you see them in yeah. Paris. There's this lady in Paris who's in her 70s, hair
yeah.
down her waist, just walks in. And I don't know if she's 30. I don't know if she's 92.
Yeah.
Just, it doesn't matter. Men are getting whiplash because they're looking. She's just got that like style.
Yeah. Especially, I mean, I don't know if this goes along with it, but it's a fun thing to imagine having the poise that comes along with a lot of those sort of like just very together chic women, because I don't like that wouldn't last for me. Like even if I sort of managed to come in that way,
yes.
someone would be like, Janet, and I'd be like, hi, oh my God. Oh, I did not mean to dip that scarf in that coffee. This is awkward. Like, I couldn't sustain that chic, you know?
But,
or I'd be like, I kiss someone and then my slash of red lipstick would smear. It looked so good when I came in. And then there would just be like a weird, like, oh, I ate a bonbon. So I have that ring of lipstick along your chin that you don't realize you get when you eat.
It's like, you remember Carolyn Bessette Kennedy? May she rest in peace. Okay.
Yes.
But talk about chic. And she came to a Groundlings show that I was in when she was dating John before they got married. Or maybe they had just been married. No, it was before they got married. And I remember she came to the show and her blonde hair pulled back and she didn't say much. And she was smoking a cigarette. And I thought, oh, wow, no one's allowed to smoke in the theater.
Right.
And she was doing it and it looked cool. She had on a gray turtleneck.
I can't believe she was smoking inside the theater.
I don't think she knew. It was, well, not inside the theater, but in the lobby.
Oh, yeah.
I'm sorry, in the lobby.
Gotcha.
But she did in a way that was kind of quiet and cool.
Yeah.
And then she didn't talk much, didn't have much makeup on. Yeah. And the cheekbones that could cut mangoes.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Gray turtleneck. And I go, oh, my God. I don't have anything gray or black. Everything, all of my stuff has sequins on it or like a seagull, you know, that says, have a great day. All my, I'm just drawn to really sequins and pink and I love color. And I go, man, it would just be so cool to act like that.
Yeah.
Just to walk in and not feel that I had to say much.
Yeah. I know. It's very different. It's a whole different world. I respect it.
Word.
Okay, next category. Let's do three people from history, as inspired by our Abraham Lincoln. Three people from history that it would be amazing that you sort of live in this, you know, perennially. It's not their ghosts, but like their essence you can call upon to either just laugh with or to get advice from, to get inspired by. Mm-hmm. But three people from any time and place.
I'll go with Mae West.
Great.
What I love about her, and then I know we just, I won't go on and on, but she didn't work that much, but she was so effective. She wrote her own movies.
Yeah.
She was thrown in jail for being scandalous on Broadway. And I thought, how great just to go into Hollywood, make your money, invest in real estate, which apparently she did.
Yeah.
And live life on her own terms.
Oof.
So, and she's just interesting. Wrote her own dialogue.
Yes.
So Mae West, Gandhi.
Great.
And it's a tie between Jesus and Elvis.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to say, let's go with Jesus because, okay, let's
he
go with Jesus.
He didn't die on a toilet.
He didn't die on a toilet.
Okay, great. Wonderful. Okay, next category. Let's do three. Okay, I'm going to continue this trend, even though you won't know what this is in regard to. But on my podcast, sometimes there might be a situation wherein, for example, when you're talking about Matt Shoesmith and you said, like, I don't want to tell Matt's story. You know, you're like, I'm just going to tell my side of the body parts that I would make. But he was there. There in a different podcast, I might have said, because I've done this to people before, well, why don't we let him tell his own story? Matt, we've got, you know, would you come in here, please? Like, I like act like there's a surprise guest.
Right.
So this category is three people that you would be so excited if I were like, well, I have a surprise for you, Susan Yeagley. And a person came through.
Can they be dead?
Yes.
Okay.
Anyone from your life, anyone, just
okay.
anyone.
Okay, Gus Gillette.
Great. There we go.
My high school drama teacher.
Yes.
And I will say my husband because I'm
great.
Kevin Nealon. I haven't seen him today, so I'd like to see him.
Great.
But he's not dead.
Kevin, could you come in here, please? Okay, great.
Another person from my past that I've had some kind of relationship with or from my past. Just give me a second to think.
Please.
Oh, it would be that teacher who read the Amityville Horror to us.
Oh, sure.
Miss Mars, M-A-R-S.
How dare she have the name Miss Mars? That is so cool.
It is cool.
Her chartreuse platforms.
Yeah, I wore those and stretched them out for her so she could disco.
Did you feel honored?
Yeah.
Okay.
I was chosen
so at the time,
one.
We'd say it was child labor, but at the time you were the chosen one.
I was a chosen one, but when I look back.
You're blessed for having big feet for your age.
I know. It was great.
Fantastic.
So I would love to see her. I don't know if she's still alive, but she's probably back in Tennessee. I've looked her up on the internet. I can't find her. But it'd be cool to see her.
God, absolutely. Okay. Let's do this final thing. We were kind of talking about, I don't know what this question is. I'm going to try to format it as we talk, but this idea of loving to watch the extras or loving to watch the small stage business. And obviously that feeds right into Beverly Winwood, right? In a sense, like it has that reel, which is such a beloved Groundlings thing that you are, let's say it, you're Beverly Winwood.
Mm-hmm.
So let's say like three... It's almost like a, like, the, is there a play about, like you zoom in on an extra from something? You know what I mean? It's like the side story, almost like Rosencrantz and Guildenstern are dead, right, or something. It's like, is there a character in a play or like you said, like, is there a musical about, you know, the extras in the commercial with so-and-so? Like, let's shine a spotlight on the quote unquote little people, mm-hmm, in something with like their own, like three different things that would be like this fun, weird play you could go see. Or does that make sense?
Yeah.
Like a musical or no, it's like a weird
from
stretch.
Okay. So like take a classic, the Golden Girls, right?
Yes.
Or something. So would be, or it'd be the Facts of Life or, One Day at a Time, you do Schneider, right? You would do that.
Oh, yeah,
totally. You would just focus in on someone. Is that what?
Yeah. Or even someone less, even someone less than that.
Oh.
Like, oh God, I was just thinking this about someone, you know, just one of those moments, like in a thing where you, where someone looks right at the camera and you're, it's like a kid who's just like a friend of the kid. And that kid just is unabashedly staring into the camera. And it clearly was the best take they had of whatever. It was like, we got to still use it, guys. We got to use it. But they're just in the background as a child, just staring right into the lens of the camera. I want to know that child story. I want to follow that child around.
I would be interested to find out what people say after we leave the audition room.
Oh, great.
I mean, that would be painful.
It's the play about what gets said after you leave.
Mm-hmm. And all of it. I want all the truth about from before the Me Too movement. Okay. Because I think probably what's being said now is they're going to be much more careful and masterful with their feedback now when an actor leaves the room. But I'm talking about vintage when I went in for early stuff in the 90s. I want to know before they could say anything. Like, I want to know what they thought of my face.
Yeah.
What they thought of my acting and my accent.
Yeah.
Because I think it would be very funny, and I'm confident enough in my skin now at 48 that I would be able to handle what they said about a 26-year-old.
Yes. Love it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And it'd be funny.
Yes. Okay. Let's find two more together, because I really did create something very strange with this category. Like, what's another version of that? You talked about the people, like the other kids in the music videos. I mean, I would love to see a play. We've just established that I would love to see a play perhaps set in the...
Oh, I'm sorry.
No. This is all you.
When we were in Paris, we were, as people do, going to see the Mona Lisa again, because I always visit her. And Kevin kept taking pictures of the piece of art next to the Mona Lisa that no one looks at. And he was taking photos of it with such zeal and zest.
Yeah.
Because we've got thousands of people packed in trying to get their one shot of this tiny little picture of the Mona Lisa. So he just was taking photos, and he posted something about, this is the photo next to the Mona Lisa.
Yeah.
And I love...
Oh, this is great.
I love fame adjacent.
Yes.
I love going up to a big star's husband or a big star's wife, rather than going up to the big star and just engaging with them and being effusive with them about what their contribution is in the world, whether it's a charity contribution or if it's they were also an actor or whatever their thing is, and gush because they are blindsided by it. The life of being invisible and in the shadows.
Yeah.
So I'm very, very interested in the painting next to the Mona Lisa.
I love it. Okay. First of all, yes. Mm-hmm. And just the idea that the sort of term for that is almost the painting of next to the Mona Lisa. Mm-hmm. The Mona Lisa. Okay. So we got the painting of the Mona Lisa. And then, one more thing that's like that. I love that. But by the way, I would also very much enjoy like a musical about working in the frozen yogurt place.
Oh, with the Van Halen video being shot? Okay.
Yeah. It's like a whole, it's like a jukebox musical.
It's
that takes place
definitely
at the
jukebox,
frozen yogurt place.
Right. It's an adorable little
weird departure.
It's a quick little run of the Doolittle.
That's right. I don't have enough room to write that. I have to write yogurt and hope I remember what I meant. Okay. Pick a number between 1 and 7.
7.
Okay. I'm going to pause this. I'm going to do some very rough math. When I come back, I will have an answer from each of these categories that we're going to build your 100% guaranteed fictional MASH future.
Woo!
Yeah.
let's get into this. Yeah. I feel like I am very excited to pass this news along to you.
Okay.
Number one, I want to congratulate you on it's pretty close to home, but you did end up with a vacation apartment in Nashville.
Oh, an apartment in Nashville.
It's an apartment in Nashville.
What if it's in the Gulch
District? I know.
Where's
it is if you want it to be.
It can be anywhere in Nashville.
It can be anywhere.
Okay.
So congratulations on that.
This is my future.
This is your future. Well, it's also your alternate universe.
Oh, okay.
Because I don't want you to feel like you're walking away from your marriage just because you ended up with Brad Pitt. You know what I mean?
Ding-a-dong-de-ding.
You've okay. just split into two, mm-hmm. but you'll be able to exchange experiences. So you'll know what it's like to have that world, but you'll also be able
right.
to live in this
I
world.
I mean, if there's anything, just makes me a better wife, Janet, to Kevin.
Yes. If anything.
If anything.
If anything.
Anything.
Guaranteed you're a better wife. And that's actually good timing because in terms of someone you'd be happy to have come through the door right now, Kevin, would you come in here, please?
Oh, he made it.
He made it.
Look at that.
He made it. And it was like those music videos in the 80s where the band is trying to get on stage.
It's backlit.
I feel like there's a lot of like, aren't there a lot? There were, it's like, it's sort of Spinal Tap makes fun of it, right? There's there were so many videos, it seems like, where a band was like getting off a bus and being rushed.
They're so
and then they
hurt.
Walk out
in
on
a hurry.
Stage and there's thousands of people. It's
boy, like they know when to show up, don't they?
Oh, they really do.
Even the politicians for the debates. They're like
people
rock
are starting
stars.
To get really angry.
Yeah.
We just
want
in time.
Rat. We want poison. We want Tears for Fears.
And then angriest fans in the world. Tears for Fears fans. Tears for,
they are hostile.
Hostile. Okay, so congratulations on your surprise guest. I don't want to upstage him at all, but you also have access to Jesus Christ whenever you want.
Well, that never hurts.
Listen. If anything, it's going to make you a better wife.
There's no downside. It's going to make me a better wife.
That's right. I want you to know that with any of these people, you can have unlimited sweet potatoes.
Ooh.
Delish.
Delish.
And good for you, by the way. Mm-hmm. You also have just the most... People talk about it. You walk into a room and people are like, what is happening? She is so stylish.
What? I got that one?
You did.
I know Jesus is involved now because that is a miracle.
I would have to take that.
I would. Oh,
you got
I'm
it.
I'm going to be that cool girl that wears the gray turtleneck that doesn't talk much.
Yeah.
That's like, wow, is she mad at me? Wouldn't it be nice for someone once in their life to think I'm mad at
them? I couldn't tell if you didn't like me or if you were just quiet.
Oh, I've never
had that. I was afraid to talk to you because you seemed so cool. Never heard that.
No, never heard that. You're too cool.
Okay, here's a place. Listen, you want to talk about people who are quiet and you don't know if they're mad at you or they're just very cool. You're going to go back to Victorian New. The Victorian Times, which I guess is Victorian England, right? I mean, we're saying Victorian.
Let's go there.
That's where it originated.
Victorian Times and a Victorian corset and the whole thing.
Yeah, you want to see someone pushing around the scariest pram you've ever seen.
The scariest pram.
That is sure to be haunted.
Oh, and I go into town for a bag of barley that has a big scooper in it.
That's right. You bring your scooper into the same place where you get a bolt of fabric to make your own petticoat.
Oh, that's right.
Right?
That's right. And then I'll say,
and
hello,
like,
George.
Do you have any lye? I'd like to poison someone.
I'd like to, do you have any oleander tea? Oh, George, do you happen to have any fresh chickens?
Yeah.
Oh, I love all that. I love the barter system, too. It's like,
I know.
I would do your laundry if you will give me a turkey for Thanksgiving.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, good luck.
Okay.
Because you're going to get there if you want.
At least I can
right
haunt it.
You can haunt it as a person from 2019. You're going to be haunting the Victorians. They're going to fucking freak out. Okay. What have I not gotten to yet? I'm very pleased with all of this. That just leaves us. Oh, you know what? That leaves us with just one, which is... what is the thing that is going to be this fantastic movie or play that everyone's going to be talking about? And I think it should come as no surprise that everyone is talking about the painting next to Mona Lisa. I just keep saying the Mona Lisa but I love that is going to be a sensation. I tell you right now, it opens in Paris. There's no doubt about it. It's a farce.
Uh huh. And the first tour stop will be Nashville.
That's right. That's right. As many productions do.
Yes, they go from Paris. To Nashville.
That's right. Susan Yeagley, for God's sake,
Janet,
thank you so much for doing the podcast. This is a dream come true.
You're the best. This was so fun to wear pink with you in a ponytail. If you guys could see
pink
us.
Pink in a ponytail.
Well, I'm going to get a picture. So I'll post it. But
we sort of need to memorialize it. Yeah.
We're wearing a sensible shoe.
That's right.
That says we're like a sassy mom on the go
Absolutely.
shoe. We have a nice blonde ponytail.
Yeah.
We look like we could be babysitters.
Yeah. We're going to go babysit someone. It's going to be super creepy because they're not going to be expecting us.
That's right.
But we're going to be awesome and fun.
And we're going to read them the Gettysburg Address.
You're damn right we are. And the Amityville Horror. Where do you want, is there a place people can find you, to look for you?
Oh, yeah. Check me out on Instagram right now, at Suki Yeagley.
Great.
S-U-K-I Yeagley, Y-E-A-G-L-E-Y.
Wonderful.
And then I post all the things that I've got coming up.
Yay! Check it out, guys. I'll talk to you next time on the podcast.
Bye.
The show is recorded by me and edited by Julian Burrell. And as always, the JV Club theme song is Back Before We Were Brittle by the amazing Say Hi.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned.
Audience supported.